allows the word of God to grow in your heart, for you to have a relationship with him, for you to know that he loves you and you can love him without guilt, without shame. How many of you have guilt and shame in your life before? And guess what? When you look at him, he erases that shame. He erases that guilt. When you look at your situation, can your situation erase that guilt? No. It actually amplifies it, amen. So we're going to look at Jesus this morning, amen. When the Lord was dealing with my heart, even this morning, he was talking about how we have to cast those cares over unto the Lord every day when we have these heavy things on our heart, these burdens on our heart. And it kind of reminded me of a story when me and my friends used to cut through this one neighbor's grass, and he had some of the nicest grass ever. And I don't know why I wanted to walk on this grass. Maybe it was a shortcut because I was coming from Herzog School, and then I would, we'll just walk through the person's grass, and then we'll cut, and then we'll go on the sidewalk. Have you ever did that before? Have you ever walked through somebody's grass? It was an old fellow, get off my grass, get off my property. I was like, oh, we're just taking this shortcut because we're trying to get through. And this guy has some of this Alabama grass. And with this grass, it's almost like that golf grass where it's looked like it's carpet. And I was like, man, this dude, he always out there, he always plucking that grass, he always keeping that grass up, and we just keep walking on this grass. And I remember one time, the guy, he had got a dog. And I remember he was like, y'all gonna stay off my grass. I remember one time me and my friends, David and us, we was cutting through. And this dog, we didn't know that he got a dog on the property. And this dog started to chase us. I jumped that fence so fast. And we kind of split off running. And the dog went through the gate. Actually, you know, because the gate, we just when we jumped the gate, some of them unbuckled the gate. I don't know. I just know that gate didn't hold that dog. That dog was still running after me. And I was running so fast, and that dog was almost on me. And I seen a truck, a blue truck, and I jumped clean over that truck. Like I was in the Olympics or something. I was like one of those. And when I dived in that truck, all my friends went, dang! Because I was a big, heavy guy back then, too. And then that guy said, I told you I stay on my grass. And we ain't never walk on that grass no more, okay? But I just remember that story, just how I was like, man, how did he get that grass? I mean, my father had good grass, too. And the thing about it is, the way they had that grass like that is they kept attention on the grass. They never lost sight of tendering the grass, watering the grass, fertilizing the grass. And that's what we need to do with our hearts. The Bible says this in Proverbs 4:23. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Isn't that powerful? That means anything that's going into your heart right now will be revealed in your life. Have you ever thought about somebody in your heart just a little bit, then next thing you know, they just kind of appeared to you? It's like, man, I was just thinking about you. You was just on my heart just the other day. It's no accident. I remember I was thinking about this guy. I haven't seen him for 15 years. And me and my friend Darius was talking about it. I said, man, I don't know what happened to Johnny Wick. He said, man, I heard he was in Atlanta or somewhere. I said, man, I would sure like to see him again. And then next thing you know, my dad called me. He said, hey, Brian, you guess who I saw? I said, who? He said, I saw Jonathan. Now, I haven't seen my friend in 15 years. But he called me and said, I gave him your number, and he's going to call you today. I said, man, I was just thinking about him today. And that kind of lets me know about something about the heart. The heart is stronger than your natural senses, amen? The heart can pull things. That's the reason why you have to be aware of what you're listening to. See, if you're listening and you're negative, then guess what you're going to do? You're going to pull negative towards you without you even knowing it. Did y'all hear that? But if you're hearing that you are the righteousness of God, that God loves you, he cared for you, he died for you, he is on your mind all the time, 24-7, not 24-7 Mayweather, 24-7 you. God has you on his mind and you're thinking about this all day, you draw in good stuff towards you, amen? The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness that he's given to you as a free gift, and all of these things will be added unto you. Thank you, Jesus, for guarding my heart. You know what guards your heart? Not you sticking the dog on people like that guy did for me. Guarding your heart is looking at Jesus and seeing what he has to say about you. As he says, what guarded Peter's heart when the Lord told him to come walk on that water? You know what guarded his heart? God's word. The reason why Peter was able to walk on water is because God said what? Come. His word is his protection. Okay, we didn't get that yet. His word is the protection for your life. You're protected because by his stripes, you're protected because he says no weapon formed against you shall prosper. But when Peter was walking on water and he was coming, what happened is he started looking at God's word saying come, and he started looking at the boisterous winds. He starts looking at the sea, and he started having a relationship with the winds instead of having a relationship with God's word. It's as you have a relationship with God's word, not, oh yeah, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. I know. It's no, I believe that nothing will ever happen to my family. Nothing can't touch my family because I am the righteousness of God. Hey, my daddy is protecting me 24/7. As I walk through the streets and I see drive-bys on my streets, my friend said, I never thought about praying for you because I didn't never think that nothing could happen to you. Now, this can be a boastful statement, but I said this because righteousness speaks. I said, and nothing will. Because why? My daddy got my back. It gives you a boldness to be able to speak in the midst of trials that I don't care what happens. It's not happening to me because I got a word of protection that he loves me. It's not about my word. It's about his word. He said, come walk on water. Without his word, I can't walk on water. That's the reason why you have to have a relationship with God so you can see what he's speaking to your life. He's speaking all the time. It's just sometimes we're not listening, amen? This one person said they had a testimony. The Lord told him to fill his pump up with gas and somebody was going to pay for it. And he did it and somebody paid for it. And then somebody said, I'm going to do that. They filled their pump up and they ended up going to jail. Because they didn't hear God say that to him. They heard God tell that to somebody else. You got to hear what God is speaking to your life, to your heart, or you'll be locked up. Somebody, it was an African guy that was walking. He said, I'm going to walk on water too. And the sad thing, he tried to walk on water and he drowned. You heard about that? Did God tell you? Or did he tell Peter? What did God have for your life? Because in the word is safety. In his word, not my word. I remember when God told me to go to the Freeway Foundation. I was just so happy. I didn't even know what they was about. I just read about them on the internet. And God told me to go. And I went at 12 o'clock at night. I knew they wasn't open. And I took my cousin with me. I said, man, this is the place that God wanted me to be. He said, all right, man, come on, let's just go home now. You showed me, let's go. I was like, okay, let's go. And I went there the next morning, I signed up for the classes. I said, this is God. The lady named, she retired now and I took her place. But I said, this is where God wants me to be, Dr. Barton. She said, okay, that's good. We'll do all the registration. And I said, you don't understand. God wants me here. And they probably thought I was crazy. And back then I was a little wild. But the thing about it is, when you have a word, you hold on to it. If God says your marriage is going to survive, you hold on to that. If God says no weapon formed against you shall prosper, you don't let nobody take that away from you. Guard your heart with all diligence. Because when troubles come, I go back to his word. I don't go back to me. Okay. 5 years later, Freeway Foundation ran out of money. And I was like, okay, God. You the one that told me to come here. You gonna have to fix, not me. You know, when my parents used to promise that my dad or my mom say, okay, boy, you going to showbiz on Saturday. If y'all, some of y'all 90s kids may not know about showbiz. It's the same as Chuck E. Cheese. Showbiz pizza, where a kid can be a kid. And when they used to tell me on Monday, we gonna take you to showbiz on Saturday at 1 o'clock, I'll be like, okay, 5 more days, 4 more hours, I'm gonna be at showbiz. On Wednesday, I'll be like, 3 more days, I'm gonna be at showbiz. Friday, 1 more day. There's one more. Oh, I can't. That's what I'm doing, y'all. I'm gonna be at show. And then when Saturday gets here, and 12:30 gets here, I don't look upon myself and say, how I'm gonna go to showbiz today. I look on the promise of my parents that spoke to me about showbiz. I'm not gonna be a 6-year-old kid hitchhiking to showbiz, going up to Hallsburg. No. My parents gonna take me up to showbiz. When my mom say, I'm gonna take you to the park, I don't bank on me taking me to the park. God don't give you a promise so you can secure the promise. God gives you the promise to relax your heart, to let you know that I'm gonna take you here. You can't take your word. You can't take yourself nowhere. He has to carry you there. Thank you, Jesus. Only thing he wants you to do is to be a child of God. He says, to come unto me, you must be like a child. Why? Because a child believes anything. They're gullible. If you send it, Daddy, then you supply it. And then what happened with the Freeway Foundation? For 7 months, it was kind of dry. I had to do some practical things or whatever, but somebody just came in out of nowhere and wrote out a grant. And this is saying it was 6 figures. And we got the grant to stay in motion. But guess what? Even if we didn't get the grant, I'm still looking at the Father saying, this is still ain't on me. This is on you. And I was able to hire Keisha and many other of my friends that fell on hard times at the time. And it supplied more than enough. What did I'm saying? His word is more than enough. When Paul prayed and said, Lord, I got this thing on me and I need you to lift it up. He says, my grace is sufficient for you. My word is perfect in your time of weakness. Why? Because not it only calls you to draw to Christ, but it lets you know that I'm secure in his word. If he said it, then it's it. I'm a child of God, and I just simply believe it. I didn't have to go, you know what? I'm going to wash my daddy's car. I'm going to wash my daddy's truck so he can take me to showbiz. You see, this is what we do. I'm going to pray a little bit harder so this promise can happen. I remember what Martin Luther King had that dream speech. I didn't remember. I've seen it on recording because I wasn't alive at the time. But God did not. God showed me something. He said, I didn't give Martin Luther King that speech so he can activate his flesh to try to work the dream. He said, I gave him the dream to comfort his heart, to let him know that that dream is going to come to pass, and I'm going to bring it to pass. What did Martin Luther King say? He said, I may not get there with you, but guess what? God already showed me something in the eternal realm that you can't see in the natural realm. So rejoice today, because even though you don't see it, God showed it to you. God will show you a word, a dream about something, and you hold on to that dream. Amen. It may be a dream about yourself. It may be a dream about your future. And you write that dream down, because he showed that dream because he's going to take you to showbiz. He's going to take you to the promised land. 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your cares upon him. How many is all? What are you thinking about right now? You cast that on him too. Cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Who? This is all in one function right here. Who can he devour? He's trying to devour you by the cares of your heart. What did the one scripture talk about in Mark 4 about the others? 4:18 saying, and the others are the ones sown among thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches. Remember, you're not your checkbook. You're not your finances. You are in Christ.
You are not your situation that happened. You may have failed, but you are not a failure. But you hear it again? You may have failed, but you are not a failure. Your situation don't describe nothing about who you are. It's a situation that happened. Period. If this microphone falls while I'm preaching, it doesn't make me a bad preacher. It's just a situation that happened. They need to be picked back up. And sometimes, I mean, if your car runs hot and it's indicating something, that indicating don't mean you got a bad car. It just means that something needs to be fixed inside of the heart of the car. Amen? And when we are caring so much, God wants to help. He wants to reach out. But he's saying, listen, I need you to trust me like a child. I need you to put your arms in my arms and watch me work this thing out for you. Amen? Well, what about faith? We need to have faith to move mountains. You know, that move mountain is just like the mustard seed. It's not talking about mustard seed or a mountain. It's talking about the mountain that's in your heart. He's giving you faith to move the mountains in your heart. What is the mountains in your heart? It may be bills, it may be protection. It may be how I'm going to get by. How I'm going to get this turned on this week. How I'm going to get this person to love me. How I'm going to get this, how I'm going to get that. Guess what? God says, listen, cast all those thorns over to me. And then guess what will happen? I will rise up and in you automatically. My word don't need help. It's like the helium. I asked this lady at this store, why do y'all put that helium in that big old bottle? That it's hard for us to move because we move the cases of this helium. They said, well, helium is so strong that we need something heavy to press it down so it can stay down. God's word is strong. But if you got your worries and cares, because helium does what? It rises straight up to the top by itself. But our worries, our cares. Well, anytime you think, God, if you care like I care, you'll do something about this situation. We think in the wrong way. He has done something about your situation. God wants us to be unlimited in our imagination, that he can do everything that we seek or ask. But the only time we can't is when our imagination is limited by this natural world. Well, I don't see it, so it can't happen. My iguana, which died because of lack of nutrition when I was a kid. I didn't feed it right. Well, my first one died because of that. My second one died because of something different. But I was seeing all these big iguanas grow. And I was like, why my iguana not growing like these iguanas? And I went back to the pet store. I said, can you help me, sir? Man, my pet ain't growing. I see these big old iguanas. I had this thing for about 5 months, and it ain't growing. And you know what he told me? This is amazing. I didn't know this myself, but he said this. He said, it's because you got it in a small glass. He said, if you create a big glass or a big place for him to live, he will grow to the environment of his heart. He just adapts like that. So if you place him in a bigger cage, then he'll grow big, just like these iguanas. They are in a big cage. And so me and my dad made a plexiglass, and it was a big old cage. And that next iguana I had grew so long. You remember that, Mom? Grew real long. And I had that same iguana for the same time, and it didn't grow. And the Lord says, that's how the imagination of our hearts are. We can't grow because we limit God. Because God, if you don't do this in this time, man, then you ain't God. God said, don't put me in a box. Grow your imagination that I can do anything far above what you can even ask or think. What are you thinking about right now? He's thinking in that. He's bigger than your dreams. He's bigger than all these things that you want to happen. He says, I've already went past your expectations. Believe in me. We are not bound like animals. An animal sees something, they have to react to something. But God, by his Holy Spirit, can show you something in the heart about who you are and what you are. And you can start to grow in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. This is some people in Jesus' town that was not growing. Not because Jesus, some people are like, don't you tell me Jesus can't do anything. Jesus can't do anything among your heart that's not willing to grow with him.
In Mark 6:3, it says, it was people in his hometown that Jesus went to. Then they scoffed. He's just a carpenter, the son of Mary. See, if I didn't see God, this is just a church thing I just go to. This is just something I just do. I mean, it's Jesus. I heard about him. But we don't see, they saw him just as a carpenter. You know what I mean? Oh, that's his brother Sheku. That's his sister Sharon. Yeah. But that's, guess what? It's Sister Christ in Sharon. They can have a powerful word that can change your whole life. It's a powerful brother in Sheku that can show you some mercy and compassion that can change your whole life. But they seen more of the human side of Jesus than the supernatural side of Jesus. And it limited them in their imagination. And watch this. That's just the son of Mary and the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon. And his sisters live right there among us. They were deeply offended and refused to believe in him. And because of this, the next scripture I didn't place here, the Bible says God cannot do miracles in their hometown. Not many miracles. Because of their unbelief. I think I got it, actually. Then the prophet Jesus told them, a prophet is honored everywhere except in his hometown and among his relatives and his own family. And because of their unbelief, he couldn't do what? Any miracles among them except to the place his hands, place his hands on a few sick people and heal them. We have to change our imagination that God can do anything far above our imagination so we can receive the supernatural. But if we already fixed to say, well, this happened to me when I was younger, and this is what I will always experience, God says, I want you to remove those chains from your mind and say, guess what? I don't only have to experience this. I can experience your superabounding riches on every area of my life. I don't have to be bound in chains of what my past says I am or what my old friend says I am. I can hear what God says I am and move to the next level. Amen? Well, faith comes by hearing. You got to have some faith, brother. But guess what? That faith comes by you hearing what? That you have been made right with God. That's what me and Mac was talking about where we met. About how he said this did change his whole life. About once he start, how many of y'all try to be perfect in your own strength? I put up two hands. But once you just accept and say, I am the perfect one because he created a perfect spirit in me, I move out of that spirit. See, I tell people, stop trying to be a Christian because you are a Christian. Just be what he already called you to be.
Come on, man.
But if you think that
Christian is over here
and you over here, then the next question is, how can I get here? You're asking the wrong question. Some people go, so that faith come by hearing, hearing by the word of God. It's not like that. It says, so then. Faith come by hearing. So it says, so then you have to read verse 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16 to see why. So then. And all those verses talk about the righteousness of God is in you. That don't look to the east, to the west. He's already in you. Jesus died for you. So you are already made perfect in his image. You don't have to do anything else to be made perfect, but just accept it with a childlike heart. Then the more you hear that he has made you right in Christ, what happens? It arises out of you, just like helium. Amen? Just like my brother Donovan. I know he had to work late last night, but he said, Wendell, I have changed these last 4 months in this church more than I ever have in my whole Christian life. Do you know why he said that? Because he's been hearing how right he is in Christ. He's been hearing the blessedness of who he is, and I didn't place him on a behavior modification to say, if you do this, if you do this, if you do this, then you're right. No, he just says, I am the righteousness of God.
He took his identity from Christ instead of working your identity to try to get to Christ.
And it just arise out of him, amen.
It'll be a boldness in the day of judgment once you receive that righteousness of God.
What type of boldness are you talking about, women?
It's a boldness that will arise into you. In Psalms 91, it says, a thousand may fall. This kind of sounds like an arrogant statement. It says, a thousand may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you.
What happened? Well, what happened to this person in my bad neighborhood when this happened and this happened and this happened?
Guess what? God said, it's not going to come to you, the person you.
It don't matter how many other people it happened to, it's not going to happen to you. If you don't read the word and you don't personalize the word, you're just reading like a fictional book. When you read the word, you're reading it about yourself. God is no respecter of man. If he protected David, then the same spirit that lives in David lives in me. And I don't care what happens, I'm not going to get cancer. I'm not going to get shot. I'm not going to get this. I'm not going to get that. I'm going to get what God has for me because that's my parent. And if he says I'm the righteous, if he says that no weapon formed against me, I'm going to sleep on that. You receive a boldness. You just don't let the devil just tell you anything. I had a friend, well, not a friend, but a guy on my job that committed suicide last week. Do you think that before he committed suicide, he was saying, I'm the righteousness of God? No. I believe he may even be beating himself up in his head instead of receiving who he was in Christ. That's the reason why you have to guard your heart. Who been telling you you bad? Who been telling you that you ain't got no worth? Where is those feelings coming from? Because it don't come from God. God says, I love you even when you didn't love yourself. Let me tell you how deep it goes. God loved you when you were at the worst of your worst sins. He said, I still love you. The reason why you come to him is because of that love. And when you receive that love, you say, Lord, I give you all the credit for everything in my life. I give you credit for this. I give you the credit for that. Just like when me and Keisha had a movie theater, we sit through the credits. I look through all the credit, and Lord says, you know when these credits rise up in your life, it should be all me. I'm your director. Because I need somebody to direct me when I'm blind and I don't know where to go, how to go. I need you to direct me into the right places. Because I don't know what to do, Lord. And the Lord will grab my hand. He says, I will direct your path. I need a writer. Because God, I don't know the right words to say to this person that wanted to commit suicide. I don't know what the right words to say to myself sometimes. And God said, write upon your heart that I love you. I care for you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I need a producer. Because God will produce for you. Some of the stuff that God wants you to do, you can't do it out of your own finances. You need the help from God. He will produce for you. I need a cast of people that surround me that's positive. That's going to be positive energy. That's going to love me the same way God loved me. I need my wife. I need Anthony. I need Sheku. I need Heather. I need Mary. I need Matt. I need all these people. And who's going to bring you people? God is going to bring you healthy people into your life. He's going to get all the credit for directing you. He's going to get all the credit for showing you. He's going to get all the credit for everything in your life. He's going to bring the cast in your life. He's going to bring the people. He's going to produce the things you can't produce in your own strength. And the best part, I need an editor to edit out every sin that ever been in my life. So when I see myself, I don't see my sins. I see you taking away my sins. So all the director, the editor, all this going to say,
say, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. You get the glory. You get the credit. I'm just in a play. It's your world. We all players. We all players. He's, you know, that's what the scripture says. He says, I am the one who wipes out your rebellion behavior for my sake. It's not for your sake, it's for his sake. Because he want to have a relationship with you. Have you ever tried to have a relationship with somebody that's in rebellion? It'd be hard. You see, every time you look at somebody in rebellion, it's hard to get along with. But what Jesus did, he wiped away the rebellion in our hearts. And he says, now I can fellowship with you. All the times that we rebel against God, God says, guess what? I've wiped that away. And now, I won't remember your sins no more. How many know that God is not remembering your sins? Raise your hand. Come on, that's good. Well, if you don't know, now you know. That he is not recalling. If you're meeting somebody and they're always recalling back to you your sins, you just met an enemy of the devil. You just met somebody in that time, and that mindset has yoked up with the accuser of the brother. God is always lifting you higher, lifting you out of the dirt, lifting you out of every situation. And when you can't produce for yourself, you got to produce. When you can't direct for yourself, the Holy Spirit will direct you. You just have a piece to go, I don't feel like going that way. I don't even know why. I just can't go this way right now. It was a situation like that where I just couldn't go this way. And I didn't go with a group of guys one time when I was younger. I couldn't even put my finger on it. But it was a bad situation that happened. It took some lives. Amen. What am I saying to you? Be sensitive to what his word is saying to you every day. He is loving you. He is caring for you. I know we've all been distracted in life, but you have to place your focus back on him, y'all. Every single time. This message never changes if you all keep coming. But what happened is you'll change by beholding the Lamb and taking away the sin of the world. The more I see Wendell, I don't see myself blaming myself. Like I said, when I used to have to go to the psychologist and talk to him about my problems while I was so depressed, now I see Wendell as a joyful person. I don't see Wendell as depression no more. I don't see Wendell as shame no more. Every time I used to look in the mirror, I used to see shame. Now I see righteousness. Now I see peace. And anytime shame try to get on my mind, I say, that's not mine. Get out of here. Send them away. Talk back to it. And say, this is not mine. My daddy didn't give this to me. God gave me the spirit of peace, love, and a sound mind. So I'm going to think about good things today. I'm going to think about joyful things today. Come on. You're just living in a dream world. Well, don't wake me up. Because I'm dreaming good and I'm loving life. You can stay in your nightmare if you want to. But let me tell you something. If you start placing good things in your heart every day, think about those things that are lovely. Think about those things that are praiseworthy. Think about those things that are beautiful. Think about your lovely this, your lovely son, your lovely daughter, your lovely wife, your lovely friend. Think about if it's anything that's praiseworthy. Think on those things. Then the Bible says this. Then the peace of God shall flow. Why? Because your mind is linked up to the mind of Christ now. And you are thinking as one. But if you think that, oh, look at this, look at that, look at this. Ah, what am I gonna do? That's when God has to sometimes bring a helping hand to rest. That's not when God start hating you. That's when God bring a helping hand and say, get up, stand up. I love you. I care for you. Don't lose hope. Don't lose purpose. Don't say you're worthless. Don't say it ain't worth me coming to church. Don't say this. You are the righteous. You belong to church because you are right with me. These words belong in your soul. You're not meant to operate outside hearing God. Just like a car is not meant to drive
without gas, you are not meant to live your life without being connected to the vine. And hearing these beautiful, lovely dream words all day long. Don't wake me up. It's that song, Jay. Don't wake me, I'm dreaming. You know, the devil don't get, the devil get mad when you happy. Because he wants you mad with him. I ain't gonna get mad with you, devil. I'm gonna be happy all day of my life. I ain't trying to be happy. I am happy because you have blotted out my sins. I can look in the mirror and say, hello, Wendell. You're a beautiful guy. I love you, man. Thank you, Jesus. Have fun with your relationship with Jesus. Don't make it so pressing and hard. You know, I've learned why some people don't like to pray because they really think it's, oh, most heavenly Father, hallowed be thy name. And I talk to my Father, I don't go, oh, most heavenly window, how can I help you today? Me and my dad hung out last night watching a boxing match, and it's just cool people. God cool, he's, God is not an energy, he's a person with feelings, lovely feelings, but he's a person, and he loves you. And he want to have a relationship with you, amen?
Yeah.
The worst thing that can ever happen to a person is not that they die, but they die without Jesus. Everybody in this room gonna pass away when this physical body is. This is not worth saving. What's worth saving is the soul.
Yes, ma'am.
The spirit. Do you know Jesus? Then guess what? Fear can't abide in you. Hallelujah. Everybody bow your heads for a moment.